I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 282, the box office report for the week ending May 21st, 2017.
The gang's all back together.
We are. We're getting the band back together.
It's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Dan will go on some four-month vacation.
Some exotic vacation.
Well, aside from none of us being dead, we are kind of like the monkeys. You know?
What?
Well, I mean, you know, when it was, like, I'd be the Mike.
How come you get to be Mike?
Well, because, you know, you're here way more. I'm not going based on their personalities. Based on attendance. I would be the Mike.
Okay, that's fair. What does that make me?
Well, I mean, you'd be the, I don't want to say you're the Davey. But
I feel like he's not Blake's Davey.
Based on height?
Yeah, Blake's
Davey.
Well,
I was going based on... No. Well, now.
Yeah.
But like, who would you say like was the... Mickey. He'd be Mickey.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying Mickey's the one that's been there the entire time, right?
Yeah.
No, they've all left at various points.
Right. That's what I'm thinking about. Like, trying to think of like who has always been there. Like it seems like Mickey's
But
been,
Mickey's the, probably the closest, yeah.
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 Which,
he's the guy I would think of.
Honestly, we've talked about this, but... That's fine, because he's really the voice.
He's really the voice of the monkeys. Let's
and
not kid ourselves.
You're Bob Rafelson.
You're Peter Tork.
That was a deep cut, though.
You looked that up, didn't you?
Yeah, it was.
Is it over there on the screen? No, it's not.
I guess that leaves me.
Yeah.
What's that make him? I lost track.
He's Davy Jones, but when he was alive.
Oh, good.
At least he let you be the living Davy
Jones.
That's true.
Yeah.
You get Marsha Brady.
It's true, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good point. Makes you the dreamy one.
I like being the dreamy one. Who was Marsha Brady in the movie? Was that Christine?
Ben Stiller's wife.
And the new one, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, she was good.
Yeah.
Looking.
Yeah. She's doing okay for herself.
She's doing all right. Yeah. Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller's doing good for himself.
Yeah.
For the fences.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just some shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe, you've been gone for two weeks. So
I'm going to say, so I haven't cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that we do.
We do.
Yeah.
So this comes from Linnea 1928. I don't know who that could be.
I wonder.
I'm trying to think of who that could be.
In all fairness, it took her this long.
Well, you know, her headline is, "I can't believe I haven't left a review yet." And then gave us 2 stars. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, wait a minute.
I think she was just waiting until Tom really nailed the name.
Yeah. Right.
So Linnea 1928. Whomever that could be.
Could be anybody.
Was she born in 1928?
She's either much older than she looks, or she's a big fan of Mickey Mouse.
It's also possible. Yeah. What year was it?
1928. I was like
38 was Superman, but yeah.
28, that's the most important thing that happened in 1928 is the creation of Mickey
There's
Mouse.
Nothing else that happened.
Nothing else happened that year, so that's got to be what she's referencing. So,
did you see the Disneyland map that just went up for auction?
Mm-mm.
So Walt had a hand-drawn map of Disneyland,
yeah. Wow.
And it's up for auction. I think it's valued at like $500,000.
That's it?
Wow.
So some guy that used to work for Disney, and this was, I guess, years after Walt passed, he raided Walt's office. He found this map in Walt's office. I mean, so the story goes.
Well, if he found it in Walt's office, doesn't that make it theft?
Bingo.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't know. That's how the story went, but he asked his boss if he could have this map of Disneyland, and he said yes, so that's his side of the story, but now it's this.
Hey, Joe Schuster, can I have your original pages for Action yeah. Comics number one?
This whole story,
these, right?
This whole story sounds suspect.
It's weird. Was his boss in a coma? Because so, you're okay with that, right?
I would think
not. No.
So his boss was Walt. I mean, after he died.
Well,
Disney
hey,
has,
boss, I can have this, right?
I mean, Disney keeps everything. I mean, they have their own historian and have for decades.
I believe that something could get lost in the shuffle somewhere.
Still wouldn't make it
like
yours.
That's true.
Yeah, I get it, and I totally get the story suspect. That's what the article said, that he asked in the interview with him. He said, I asked, you know, I took this, and I asked my boss if I could have it, and he said yes, but it is now like one of the most historical, valuable pieces of Disneyland memorabilia. It's a hand-drawn map of the lands, and there's lands that never came to fruition.
Sure.
There's, but it's his, it's huge map
yeah.
of Disneyland, hand-drawn by Walt.
That's so. What he, like, the, you know, the main feature was the train.
Yeah.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, his initial vision was bigger than, like, a carnival, but not the scope of what it is now.
Yeah.
And the train was it was all, I mean, if you saw that Disney documentary on PBS.
Oh,
like,
yeah, oh, amazing.
That's a good one.
They talk about that, the whole, like, you know, it was his passion for a train.
Yeah.
And train building.
I mean,
know,
he had a
larger
train that ran through his backyard.
Yeah.
Like Silver Spoons.
That's where it happened.
Yeah.
That used to be one of his hobbies was mm-hmm. trains. And that's what I found out from that PBS, which if you have not seen that PBS Masters series, two-part on Walt, it's mm-hmm. incredible. Yeah. And yeah, he used to ride around his backyard on like a miniature train. When I say miniature, it's not like what goes on the ceiling. Yeah. Miniature is in a person can ride it, but it looks like mini dirt bikes that people ride. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah.
it's
yeah.
that scale.
You know, he does that in 2017, it's not as cool.
Like
it's that's
like
one of
riding
those,
your miniature train.
Yeah, like that's one of those things where just like I think you might need to be taken off the board of directors
and black and white.
Right
when you're walking.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, right?
Yeah.
No, it's like it's very what's the word? It's very endearing when you see you know grown man Walt Disney in black and white with his conductor hat riding
Michael
around.
Michael Jackson does it, and Donald Trump does it in a truck.
Yeah,
toot toot.
So sorry, it's just interesting. That's up for sale. So go look at the picture. Yeah. The guy's standing next to
it. I feel like $500,000 is cheap.
Well, maybe it started at $500,000. Oh. It was up for auction. I mean, this is an amazing piece of history.
You also get an annual pass with it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
To the old park, not to the new one. Right.
Yeah. So we never got around to actually reading Linnea's review. So
I'm
she says,
back and tangents are on.
She says, great weekly podcast. Discussions cover new movies, old movies, and movies you either love to hate or hate to love. The conversations often wander, so it seems fitting that we wandered within her own thing.
You're welcome.
To their benefit, I love spoilers, so I don't mind listening whether I've seen the movie yet or not. But remember, you've been warned. So thank you for finally getting around to that, Linnea.
Whoever you are.
Whoever you may or may not be. It could be Linnea's grandmother, maybe.
Great
she could be like Linnea Thunsell Jr. or Linnea Thunsell III.
They do that for women.
They do now.
Esquire.
Yeah, why do you
think? I don't think they do that.
I don't know. Why do you hate feminism?
I didn't say
why
that.
Why can't women do that?
I just said that when you're named after.
Suddenly, they're they?
That's true, yeah.
Well, those people, Joe?
What do you mean?
Thanks
those
for reinforcing the patriarchy.
Yeah. What do you mean? Those
and there
people?
Goes that review.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan,
delete them.
Before Joe can say anything else, can you sing the thank you for finally reviewing us song?
Thank you, Linnea 28.
19
plus 19 before the 28.
That's the remix. That's the remix. Yeah, he's saving
do,
that.
Do,
so.
Do, do, do.
Also, don't forget we're on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. You can go there. You can like our page. You can join our League of Show Sharers group, and you can actually become a member of the League of Show Sharers by sharing said show.
A virtual card carrying member.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah.
So people that were kind enough to share the show this week include Jason Herndon, Tom Comiskey, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Michael, Brent Smith, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris Sanders, the aforementioned perhaps Linnea Thunsell,
possibly
Julian Jordan, Librarian Cynthia, Zach Bach, Travis Tewitt, and Nick Scott. So thanks everyone for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it. And I guess with all that behind us, we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And since we're getting into the big blockbuster season, we're finally getting these movies that
Care about.
Yeah. People are actually going to see, and they're number one at the box office their first weekend. So following in the trend that Guardian started a couple weeks ago, Alien Covenant finally is out, and it did make enough money to bump Guardians from that number one spot. It made $40 million. Its
on
first
a,
week
on a what
the budget is $97 million, so a lot lower than you'd think.
Yeah. Well, because they used aliens.
Duh. Yeah, they work cheaper.
Is that another thing?
Oh my gosh,
no, that's not. Is that Maraca?
I told you I was gonna make you use it.
so yeah, I mean, 40 million domestically on a $97 million budget. It's already made almost 50 million overseas, though, so almost 90 million on a $97 million budget first weekend. So a lot of people didn't know if it would beat Guardians even in its third week.
Sure.
And it did, so coming out strong. So we'll see what it does in the following weeks. And we'll talk about it next episode.
Yes, we will.
Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, $35 million in week three, only a 46% drop from some very impressive box offices here. $301 million domestic and another $383 right now.
Man,
and I don't even think that's fully updated. It's probably closer to $400 by now. So we're talking about almost $700 million worldwide on a $200 million budget.
That's a win.
Yeah, it's three,
a big old win.
3 weeks domestically, 4 weeks worldwide, but $700 million.
I added to those numbers this week.
Did you?
Yeah, I finally took the kids.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's
and
great.
I did too. I went and saw it a second time.
You took my kids to see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Well, first off, that's weird. Second, why didn't you tell me? Then I wouldn't have had to. You wasted the money.
Sorry.
So given the recent news that Tom Hardy is going to be Venom, does that tie into... That has nothing to do with the Marvel stuff, right?
No, I think the Venom, Sinister Six stuff was all off to the side.
I think
all they acquired was
just Peter Parker.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think there's probably some aspects of whatever the Sinister Six
is left. That's the Drew Goddard one, right? Drew Goddard was going to direct
that. Well, like even like whatever plot lines.
Oh.
And
but he wasn't part of the Sinister Six.
No. But I think there's aspects of like I think they probably had some when they're like crafting all the different
options.
Oh, I
see what you're saying.
They probably had some ideas that might work, and then they're like, hey, you know what? We have a Spider-Man movie that might be pretty good. We should do something because Sony doesn't want to. They still want that independence. They don't want to be.
So did I misunderstand that Sony was trying to sell off their movie stuff? Like they're trying to get rid of their movie division.
Who is
Sony? Is that not a thing?
I have not heard that, but I'm not saying that you're wrong.
I just remember because they announced a Silver Sable movie, which I feel like that's a weird one. That's a weird Spider-Man character.
Trying to grasp onto any superhero property they can.
Well, they had Silver Sable, and I think there was a Black Cat as well, and then Venom, and then a Sinister Six. So they're just mining whatever Spider-Man stuff they've got.
That'd be very weird to bring out a Black Cat movie without her appearing in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, she's a pretty big character. Like, at least she's not as much anymore, but she was
sure.
Peter Parker's girlfriend.
It's doing a Rogues Gallery movie before half of the heroes have been introduced.
Weird, right?
Rogues, like, I don't know, whatever,
like,
those boomerangs. Well, does it?
I feel like that's committing suicide, Dan.
It is.
Yeah.
It's
like
a squad of suicide.
But yeah, weird. I think I like the, if they ever get him,
it's like, Sony's officially becoming the quarter bin.
Yeah, right.
Oh, what's up here?
Oh, the whole series right here. Perfect. Great. Yeah, I just think I like the idea. We talked, Topher Grace probably wasn't the greatest of choices. I liked his Eddie Brock. The Venom was a little wonky. But when you put Tom Hardy next to Tom Holland,
it just physically doesn't make sense.
No, but
I like him as an actor.
You mean Topher Grace?
Of course,
Grace.
Okay. Of course. Topher Grace is a fine actor. It's just as Eddie Brock, who always in the comics has been a huge weightlifter.
Yeah.
Topher Grace is a little skinny kid.
Yeah, he's a mook. I mean, they had Topher Grace played
smarmy. Let's back that up a second. What word did you use?
A mook.
What is that?
That's like a jabok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
This is old timey terminology.
It's old timey for bro.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Well, yeah, because when I complain about all the mooks, it's like, you guys go to your separate room with where you could grunt.
Is that GTL?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like the idea. Actually,
Mookie.
I just watched Take Me Home Tonight, which is this little 80s well, set in the 80s, Topher Grace. It's the movie that Chris Pratt and Anna Faris met on.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good. Wasn't bad for what it was. Just a you know, little B comedy. But I like the size differential between Tom Holland and Tom Hardy.
I mean, Tom Hardy
could be awesome.
Like, Tom Hardy played Bane. We get it. Yeah. Like, he's
I don't think he's tall, though.
He's not.
Is he?
No. But I mean,
he could beef up.
He was.
Yeah. Oh, I think he is beefed up.
Yeah. I mean, when you saw him playing Bane and you saw him in the Revenant.
Oh, yeah. Look at him in The Fighter. No. Warrior.
Warrior.
Good Lord.
But you know, it's like Tom Hardy has that size, and Tom Holland is great. He's an actual high school aged, you know, the skinnier kid.
I think he's 20.
Well, he's really
close.
He
doesn't look like Andrew Garfield or Topher Grace.
He might be 20 now, but like when he was cast, he was like 18, I think, you know? Right. So it's like that, you know, that a kind of a svelte high schooler type kid next to Tom Hardy, that is the Peter Parker versus Venom
that could be cool.
Size differential that we should see.
I'm sure Marvel's like, look, just give me that one too. All right.
It, as long as they have caught on that, like, just keep your damn masks on. All right.
I don't mind. Like, the Venom mask can be different.
I know, but do you remember how stupid? Like,
I do.
Every time... You see Topher Grace's head on Venom, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I agree.
You're talking about taking you out of the moment.
It would have that weird effect on the side of his face. Yeah.
Or Spider-Man with his mask off constantly.
Yeah, he never wore his mask in that third one.
No.
Why do you even have a mask? Right. Like, there's no point. You're just going to take it off.
I remember, like, in the third movie, I think I almost stood up and I was like, everybody stop taking off your masks. Stop it.
Oh,
like,
you were that guy that I threw popcorn at.
It was like Stallone's Judge Dredd.
Yes.
He never wore the helmet. Like, you think he wore the helmet twice in the entire movie.
That is such a great deep fried taco, though. I love that movie.
I am the law. With Rob Schneider doing the Stallone impression in the movie.
Yeah. So coming in at number three, Everything Everything opened this week. That was the big date night movie this weekend. Well, not as big as Guardians, apparently.
Yeah,
I was
you're 14.
But that was the like romantic date night type movie to counter program.
It's the date night movie to be dropped off.
Yeah, right. My mom said we have to be done by 9.
That movie came in at $11 million opening weekend. So that is at 2,800 screens. So it's a pretty wide release. And I do not have a foreign take on it, but it had a $10 million budget. So, you know, 11 million on a 10.
That's not a religious movie, right?
No.
Okay. Just like a
Is it based on a book?
It's basically a Jonathan Green novel that wasn't written by Jonathan Green.
Oh, perfect.
It's that kind of a thing. It's like,
what was that one that we did that was not a Nicholas Sparks movie?
Right. This is like a Fault in Our Stars meets Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Oh, Bubble Boy? That was a great movie.
No, Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
John Travolta.
I want to feel the grass under my feet.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Moops.
Sandy.
For Moops. No,
I remember when that was a TV movie event.
Oh, that was a big deal in that movie.
Was he a thing when that came out?
Yeah, because he was on...
Cotter?
Yeah, he was on Welcome...
Cotter.
He was on Welcome Back Cotter.
Same thing. You knew what I was talking about.
Remember
when
they were doing... They were going to do a movie of that?
Yes.
It wasn't going to be like a black remake?
Yeah.
It was going to be Welcome Back Cotter.
A movie or a show?
As a movie. With like... Was it going to be... with Cedric the Entertainer as Cotter?
Might have been.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be actually kind of funny. Yeah. I like him.
It was when they were on that. They did like a Honeymooners reboot with black people. Yeah. And there was like a Caddyshack one.
There was a Caddyshack reboot?
I mean...
Well, there was talk of a Caddyshack reboot?
No, I mean, they made it. It's called Where's Your Caddy or something? Or Who's Your Caddy? Who's Your Caddy?
Who's Your Caddy?
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
As a movie?
I mean, I don't know that it was like officially a Caddyshack. I don't know if they actually credited it or not, but it was like... That's
crazy pants.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't be any worse than Caddyshack too.
Exactly.
I think the best black remake I've ever seen is Death at a Funeral.
I would agree. That's really good.
I think that's the best one. I mean, they turned that around so fast, which was strange because Death at a Funeral had only been out a year or two and was such a good movie. And then when I went and saw the remake, I'm like, it's basically the same thing, but the actors they chose were really good. They were funny. They kept the stuff that really worked from the first one. And I thoroughly enjoyed that remake. That's the best time I've ever seen one that's remade for a demographic specifically.
Right. It came out really fast too, right? Like
that's what I'm saying. It was really quick, two years after. Yeah, really quick. Yeah. So, but anyway, Everything, $11 million on a $10 million budget. So we'll see if that hangs around in the next couple weeks.
2007 for Who's Your Caddy?
Yeah, it's been 10 years.
Yeah,
where does the time go?
I don't know. Away.
Yeah.
So coming in at number four, King. Oh no, it's not. That's interesting. In week two, I haven't seen King Arthur yet on this box office report, but we'll see where that landed. Number four, Snatched. Oh, different Guy Ritchie.
Yeah,
title.
That's the sequel.
Yeah, right.
He's taking credit for that. Yeah. People are just going to that because they think it's a sequel to my movie.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I'm still relevant.
Where's Brad Pitt?
$7.3 million, a 63% drop, but still making decent money in week two. That's sitting at $32 million domestic, another few million foreign. So it's around $30 million on a $42 million. So it definitely is not making much as...
I'm glad somebody else didn't like that Hearst last stand-up special.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was not very good.
No, it wasn't.
No, I...
And I'm not a hater.
Like, no, I think she is funny.
Yeah.
But I just watched the Louis C.K. one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
It's great. It's perfect. I mean, if you like Louis C.K.,
yeah,
he has no boundaries, does he?
No.
Man, when you see him come out, this new special that Louis C.K. did, and I've seen his other stuff, but he just comes out swinging like he is not afraid
to
say
anything. He comes
out swinging
with a hatchet.
Yes, he will say anything about anybody, and he just does not care. No. And you can tell the audience is uncomfortable. Like, and he's just like,
ooh. Yeah, the opening skit is skit.
What's his first joke?
About abortion.
Yeah, like he just comes out.
He's for it, but then he's like, Like what he's saying is like, you're okay, it's obviously a joke, but it's he says it like right off the bat, and the whole crowd just is like,
you can tell it's like,
where are we going from here?
Yeah. Man, he is not afraid to say anything. So anyway, Snatched is around 30 on a $42 million budget, so they really had a disappointing opening, and the word of mouth was really bad on it, so we'll have to see if it makes its money back. I thought coming in at number four, making another $7 million would be a good thing, but I forgot how bad it opened.
Probably have a life on DVD.
So, I'm sure. I mean, most comedies tend to do. So that might be where it has to make.
How was Goldie
Hawn?
She was fine. I didn't really feel like she got a whole lot to do. She's in the movie a lot,
sure.
But I just didn't think that it wasn't a very meaty part.
I've been on a bit of a Kurt Russell kick recently, and I watched Overboard. Man. That movie's great.
Overboard sequel. We need a.
I would watch that.
Wouldn't
movie.
That be fun?
I
if
really
they got
do.
Back together.
And I think that would be great.
I want that putt putt course.
Oh, I don't blame
mini
you.
Golf course. I'm like, why hasn't anybody made that? That's such a great idea.
So, copyright Real Spoilers. Yeah. Right, can we try?
I don't think we can copyright
movie that's
Overboard's
copyright.
Idea.
Yeah. Well, statute of limitations.
Start calling you so Lane. Yeah.
My sister goes, can I unfollow Real Spoilers? And I was like, no, why? And she was like, didn't that guy take over? And I'm like, that was a joke. And she was like,
thought it was
yeah.
Real?
She was like, what, really? And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
it was
no.
April Fool's, man. Like, nobody, no, we are still running Real Spoilers. She's like, oh, all right, I guess I'll leave it.
Thanks. So gullibility runs in the family.
It totally does.
Yeah.
Carried down to the other ones, too.
So real quickly, speaking of listeners, since you brought up Lane, does anyone remember Disneyland Matt?
I just
was thinking about him the other day, and I know it had been a long time, like a few months ago or whatever, when we mentioned it last, that it's been a long time, but
I heard that he found a hand-drawn map, and he now goes by Disneyland Matt.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun. I loved every week making a new job for him at the theme park, and I miss doing that, you know, or, I mean, hearing it from you, Tom, and so I was just thinking about him the other day. Like, I guess he doesn't listen anymore, but Disneyland Matt, if you listen, just send us a message. Let us know you're okay, at least. I mean,
or somebody that knows Disneyland Matt,
yes.
Let us know he's okay.
Hope he's doing well. So enjoy that map.
One of the original League of Show Shares.
Yeah, he was. Number five, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, opened this weekend to $7.2 million. Tom, did you see this one?
No.
How many of these are there?
This is the fourth, I believe.
Yeah. Man!
They rebooted it, though.
Oh, they did?
I don't know if it's a sequel or a reboot, but it's been completely recast.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I've been waiting for the reboot of this series. Yeah. Thank goodness. Yeah.
They kind of have to. I mean, the entire series, there's like 10 of these books now. They all take place in middle school.
In one grade.
And
yeah.
So it's like, you know, in middle school, that's when kids hit their growth spurt the most noticeably. So you really have a pretty short window in which to make sequels.
Well, tell that to Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire. Yeah.
Did he go to college? He went to college in two, right?
They leave.
Oh, yeah, because they meet Kirk Connors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never pays off anywhere, ever. Actually, it's funny, like, so Bella reads the Captain Underpants books.
Yeah.
And now that movie's coming out mm-hmm. this summer.
Ed Helm is the teacher.
Yeah,
the principal.
It's Tom Middleditch and Kevin Hart are the two kids. But I was like, animated. Yeah. Like, you know, you can, because there's like 15 or 16 of those books. So if it's a hit.
It's a popular book series. Yeah. I think we'll make money.
I think the problem with doing Diary of a Wimpy Kid is an animated movie, because the books are like a mixture of like written word. I hesitate to say prose. That seems a little high-minded for Diary of a Wimpy Kid. But and drawings. But the premise is that it's a diary, and that the kid is drawing things too.
It's like crude sketches,
and so
the
drawings are pretty crude stick figures. I see. So if you take that and animate it, if you're gonna make an animated movie, it would need to look like those drawings. But I think an entire movie of those drawings
would be a bit
overkill.
That's probably true.
3D stick figures,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Just stretching out like one limb.
Well, I was thinking you could bookend it where the kid is like,
you could drift in and out, like what was that Jack Lemmon movie?
I was like,
Where he's a cartoonist.
Yeah,
it was based on a Thurber.
I was thinking, my head went straight to Walter Mitty, and that wasn't that.
He
was
would
Danny
draw,
K.
and then the drawings would come to life.
Yeah. What was the Peter Falk one and Ben Savage?
The Princess Bride.
Yeah, I don't know why it was.
Fred Savage.
Yeah. What was the Neverending Story? Was that Jonathan Brandis in the Neverending Story where he's reading the book?
I don't think so.
Maybe it's two. Maybe he's in two.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, same to where it's like they drifted out of the story.
But yeah, so they ended up doing, they recast everybody, and like I said, I don't know if it's starting over or if they're forward. Just like, yeah, they grow up, we got to move on.
So yeah,
we're not Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and there is a review of both Everything and The Diary of a Wimpy Kid on ReviewSTL.com. So if you do want to read, the same writer actually, Brad wrote.
I was like, what both. Poor sucker did you get to see Everything?
Well, Brad. he wanted to see that one, but Diary of a Wimpy Kid was kind of like a take one for the team, buddy. So he wrote the review on those two. So check those out if you want. Number six, King Arthur: Legend of the Snore, dropped in week two to number six with 6.5 million, a 58% drop from an abysmal opening. Anyway, $26 million domestic, $35 million foreign, so can't even be saved overseas. That brings it to a total of not quite $60 million on a $175 million budget, and it doesn't even deserve that much money, honestly.
No.
It's a shame, because that is like, I love the story of King Arthur. Like, in general,
too bad nobody
I know.
Made the movie did.
That's I'm
the story.
It's a shame that it's been so long since we've gotten a good King Arthur movie.
Like 35 years.
Yeah, I like Excalibur. I dig Camelot is good, and Sword in the Stone.
You don't like musicals. You like Camelot?
I mean, it's tough because it's King Arthur.
Yeah,
you know, like I can kind of.
Honestly,
deal with it.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail is a better example of a King Arthur movie than this movie.
It's more faithful.
That's what I mean. It is more realistic.
The one with Sean Connery and Richard Gere?
Oh, First Night.
Yeah. That's not a bad one either. That's all right. It's all right.
So anyway, King Arthur failing miserably and just doesn't even... I would like to have seen that make like...
Can they pull him off Aladdin? Like, is that even a thing that could, like, if he's his?
I bet Disney can do that.
Well, they did. They parted ways with what's his face
from Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
but
that's
they
true.
Weren't
and his, Edgar Wright. I mean, that's Marvel.
Yeah,
but
I feel like that was more.
He was tied into it,
but they weren't.
No, that was not amicable.
I don't think they were.
Edgar Wright did not want to leave.
They were pre-production.
That, no.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to pull him off because he. Put out one movie that underperformed.
Didn't he have two back to back? What was the one?
Well,
he did?
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
But that
it did okay.
Oh, it did all right. That's
and
right.
It wasn't a bad movie.
No,
you know what I mean. Like, I mean, ultimately, they didn't get rid of that guy from Fantastic Four because Fantastic Four underperformed.
Like, he was crazy.
They got rid of him
because
he was crazy and he was being an asshole.
Still, have never heard from Josh Trank.
I don't think you ever will.
He was a liability.
Yeah.
Like they could
see.
Like they're like, this guy.
What was he doing, the Boba Fett one?
Even if they were, no, he was doing...
Han Solo?
Three.
No, he was doing one of the spinoffs.
He was doing
the
spinoffs.
Because Ryan Johnson was doing 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. He was already locked in for 8 and 9.
Like Colin Trevorrow is doing 9.
Oh, okay, so those three.
He had a spinoff.
So Abrams,
they gave him a spinoff.
Okay. Abrams, Ryan Johnson and Colin Trevorrow were all locked in.
Yeah, they were all locked in. It was a
fat check because
I think he had the Boba Fett movie,
but which was never announced though.
I think it was. It was part of the.
This was at the time when he was
doing a spin-off.
It was an untitled spin-off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they saw that just his, even if they were going to get a solid movie out of him, he just.
It was going to be too much work.
There's too much cleanup that you have to do with his Twitter feed.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's like when you have somebody who's in a fairly, high position. And just goes to Twitter and you can't control him. I mean, what do you do?
I can see doing that maybe on like...
You elect him president.
Yes.
Zing! I could see maybe going on that Twitter rant on maybe your fifth or sixth movie.
Yeah.
But not your second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good move by them to let him go.
Yeah.
And I think he is a competent filmmaker. It's just, unfortunately, you got to play the game. And, yeah, when you're Spielberg, which Spielberg would never do that, but what I'm saying is if he wanted to complain about something, he could do it, right?
Spielberg
but,
wouldn't have to complain. He's just like, I'm going to change
that. Well, he is the man. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine.
He wouldn't, but what I mean is that if you're Scorsese, right. If you're someone that's established, you're allowed to complain about a studio meddling. If it's your second movie and it's your first big one,
right.
You're not... Can't say anything.
Choose your battles.
Right.
Sure.
It's silly.
Choose your battles.
Yeah. There were parts of that movie.
He got butthurt.
That I liked the idea of where he was going.
Yeah.
Like the crazy horror sci-fi Fantastic Four.
Josh Trank, his cut may have been great. Like, I'm not saying what he said is even false, but you can't do that.
That's right. Forgot that.
What he said is that his cut of the movie would have performed better, would have made more money, wouldn't have been critically lambasted.
Yeah.
He was butthurt. He was defending his version of the movie over the studio, and he messed with the wrong people. You can't
Well,
do that.
I think, so yeah, so he, the producer on...
Kinberg.
Is that
Simon
who it was?
Kinberg?
Yeah, Simon Kinberg.
Mm-hmm. He's the one
also on Star Wars, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's where he is.
Simon Kinberg is involved with all the Fox Marvel stuff, all the X-Men stuff, and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And he's a huge producer. So he's your boss. And when it's your second day on the job, so to speak, you don't tell the boss to go screw himself, right?
Yeah.
Or he says, okay, well.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You can go sit, have fun on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Josh Trank is this generation's Troy Donahue.
I don't know what that means. Exactly.
He was the director of Boondock Saints.
Oh.
Or what about the guy that directed American History X?
I'm trying to remember his
name.
That's
the one, yeah.
Like,
same thing.
That's a good point.
He never made another movie after
that.
They
were like, Donahue, his ego got so big that
Did he come back for two?
Yeah, but I mean, it was a long way back. But
yeah,
and the guy who did American History X, which, I got it in front of me because I can't remember that guy's name. I was like, he...
Yeah,
just blew up his career.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. And like, that's a good movie, but he fought.
That's
with
a really good movie.
He fought with Norton, and he just was hard to work with. And
Tony K.
Okay,
so here's the thing.
And he regrets
it.
He does.
Is he hard to work with, or is Ed Norton hard to work with?
But you have to pick your battles.
I agree.
That's the problem.
But here's the thing. I totally agree.
Is that Tony K? If he wouldn't have said anything,
yeah.
Everybody, I mean, because. By and large, most people agree that movie was good.
If it's
Ed Norton's doing, then okay.
Yeah. Right.
American History X was great.
I'm a big fan
of it. So I'd love to see Tony K, though. He complained about it.
Yeah.
And it's it wasn't his cut. And it's like, well, I mean, I'd certainly like to see it.
Yeah.
And I think with some maturity, he may have been able to achieve that eventually coming out.
Yeah, sure.
But. He just had a big bomb right off the bat, and it is the same thing.
He's never made another movie.
That was the last good Edward Furlong movie.
Yeah, Josh Trank. It's the same situation where they've shot themselves in the foot, and it's like if you keep quiet, play the game. You got to get over your hubris, and you just have to.
You need to be a grown up.
Yeah,
that's what it
is. Yeah. Like sometimes things you don't get what you want in this world.
Your boss is gonna piss you off,
and you hold your tongue and you move on, and you get your second bite of that apple.
Right,
absolutely.
It's called being a grown up.
Exactly.
Could have done it if he kept his mouth shut.
And for the record, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. made worldwide $109 on a $75 million budget.
Oh,
so that did not make money. That's not
once you factor in marketing.
No. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, ticket sales, you only get about 50%.
I mean, it was a lean,
pretty
lean budget.
Hey, remember how charming Henry Cavill was in that movie?
Yeah.
So never seen that again.
I mean, this movie probably lost. I bet they wrote off over $100 million on it. So that's
there
two in a row. The Guy Ritchie
for that movie too.
It's also one that should have, and I'll say it again, should have come out in the '90s.
Yeah,
when they were all of them.
Yeah, it's a long wait for that movie.
But I'm just saying, that's two movies for Warner that Guy Ritchie has lost a ton of money for them. So if he got kicked off Aladdin, I'm not saying he will, but I would not be surprised. And after seeing this, I am
also
worried.
Not only are those two movies that lost money, but those are two movies that were clearly intended to
absolutely
be franchise builders.
Yes, yes. Yes. Well, yeah, they wanted another Sherlock Holmes,
right?
Is what they wanted.
Yeah. So
also Charlie Hunnam sucks.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Like, he's not charisma vacuum.
He's not a good actor. That's what I'm saying.
No, I totally. When I heard you say, I was
thank
like,
you. I wish so. No. Yeah, because I know.
Same deal. I got through about 5 episodes of the first season of Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. I was like, this is boring. Like Ron Perlman's the only good part about this show.
Yeah, he's amazing. But it's like women like Charlie Hunnam. He can't act his way out of a paper bag.
Some men. And
well, that's fine. Yeah, but it's like, you know, I mean,
he's terrible.
Can you? Yeah, I was trying to get these guys. I'm like, what's the good Charlie Hunnam movie?
There isn't one,
right? I would
say Pacific Rim, but it's not because of him,
right? I enjoyed Pacific Rim immensely for its just big
he's
monster
good
movie. Type.
He was like a bit character on Undeclared. It was like the next show from
Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow produced it.
Was it Paul Feig?
It was Paul Feig.
Yeah.
And he's like the British transfer student in that with Rogan, and that's the only I was like, oh. Yeah.
Oh, was he the pretty boy?
Yeah.
The that's character him on that show? Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah. That was a good show.
That was a good show. One season. One and done.
So, King Arthur losing a ton of money. Good. Number 7, The Fate of the Furious. Talk about a movie that is not losing a lot of money. The Fate of the Furious made another $3 million in week 6, which is only a 44% drop. $219 domestic. But, Joe,
yes,
guess foreign how much money Fate of the Furious has made.
Overseas?
A billion. That would be foreign. Yeah. I mean, I guess there are some foreign countries that aren't overseas.
Thank you.
So if you want to...
that's what I'm saying.
If you want to factor out the Western Hemisphere then calculate its foreign total,
Canada.
We won't stop you.
Well, then he's wrong. So no, I want not overseas. I want overseas.
He was drivable.
Plus, I want overseas plus Canada and Mexico. Please go.
$1 billion.
What about South America?
No, but I don't want that one. Okay. But then I want you to tell me that separately, and then we'll add them at the end.
That's what I think. I think I made $1 billion.
$980 million overseas.
Do you know why they brought Kurt Russell into that movie?
Why?
He was going to be Paul Walker's dad.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
were supposed to be like, he's an FBI
agent. In the original
agent.
Script, he was Paul Walker's dad.
Yeah. I read about
that. Oh, that was going to be a big reveal?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
So Scott Eastwood took over the Paul Walker-esque role.
Was a cut scene. There was an after credit sequence on this one starring The Rock and Jason Statham, and Vin Diesel said, cut it.
Yeah.
Don't put it in the movie.
So you read the same article I did because both those things were in the article. Yeah.
He said, don't you dare put that in this movie.
They distributed the entire movie worldwide. They distributed with a Rock and Statham cutscene, and Vin Diesel made them recall every digital copy, take the cutscene out, and put them out. He would not let there be a cutscene with those two.
And I guess I didn't realize he had that much pull on those movies.
I'm saying. You can't just get rid of him. Like he is engraved into these movies.
They'll do like they did in 2 or 3, where he just shows up at the end. You can be
his
in it
ego
for about
at this point.
Seconds.
I'm telling you, it's gonna. He's gonna have to leave on his own will, which I hope.
Which
like,
be
he
in
says,
2 movies.
But I bet you he still has some sort of financial tie to it.
Oh, sure.
You know,
absolutely. But anyway, that is very interesting. Yeah. But
I like the idea of him being Paul Walker's dad. Like that's kind of cool.
That would have been a good. Would have been good. So $1.2 billion in what, 6 weeks? $1.2 billion.
That's crazy.
Could you, I mean, seriously, Dan, you've never seen these movies?
Nope.
Tom, where'd you jump on 4? When the cast came back, the main cast came back.
What was the
driving
one where
through
they were
tunnels in Mexico?
Driving through tunnels
whatever.
In Mexico?
Yeah.
Then that's where
I
came in.
So I saw the
I've
original
been on since 1.
I saw the original in theaters, did you?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So when I saw this movie, and I loved Point Break at the time, so I'm like, oh, it's Point Break with car racing. And we've mentioned that it's clearly that's what it is. I'm like, oh, this is fun. And I was in the time I was in high school or middle school, so I'm like, oh, cool, cars, you know, you're into that when you're a kid.
I was a senior in high school.
So I was like, and I was maybe a freshman, whatever, so I'm like, okay, cool, car racing, it's got the Point Break story. I'm like, wow, what a fun little movie. Never ever ever in my wildest dreams would I have imagined
I never would have thought
$1.2 billion
entry into any franchise would make $1.2 billion.
Yeah, that's...
Not James Bond. That's the only one that I could think would even remotely come close to making that kind of money.
Yeah. They figured it out. They have the formula.
They what?
They figured it out.
Oh, okay.
I've got it.
I'm just saying.
But have you figured it out?
Hey, I didn't. They have the formula down. They know how to make money.
For sure.
The formula actually uses hidden figures.
It can be hidden fences.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Racist. So
it's universal. The cars, the actors, the action. It's universal. And it literally is universal. I know. The funny part. So that's probably why they're so good at it.
They've got that and Despicable Me, right? Like those are there.
Jurassic World,
which is going to make, which made a billion, is going to make another billion. Universal's on fire.
Remember, when they do that crossover with the Fast and Furious and the dinosaurs,
got Godzilla, with the raptors driving cars.
They've got Godzilla. That's Universal, isn't it?
The Minions.
No, that's Warner. Poof. King Kong and all that's Warner.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Fate of the Furious, amazing. Would have never even predicted it for this movie, nonetheless, back 7 movies ago.
No,
so,
hell no.
Good for it. They're gonna keep coming, and I'm excited for that Rock Statham. That's
the only, like, that's fun. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Are you gonna see that one?
No.
You should see that one.
No. It's the Rock.
It's the best part of it.
Oh, no, it's just a record.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No.
Oh,
just on principle.
I will donate those 2 hours or that money to something good.
Okay, there
just,
you go.
Just to, you know, be a stand-up guy.
Number 8, The Boss Baby, still hanging around. 2.6 million, a 42% drop in week 8. $165 million domestic, $293 million foreign. It is up around $460 million worldwide.
Bingo. So
that's money right there. And until the next kids movie comes out, which
Coco?
That's the one we were trying to think of last time. Yeah. That's the Pixar.
Is Coco before Cars 3?
I feel like Cars 3 is late summer.
I feel like Cars 3 is in the fall.
I think it's later. So I mean, yeah, it obviously is really benefiting from the time of year. They were smart with the release, and it's getting decent word of mouth. So good for that one. Number 9, Beauty and the Beast. Only 2 weeks before its Blu-ray release, still making money. $2.3 million. I mean, you know, making a couple million 2 weeks before it comes out on home video.
I think it's out on digital already.
No. It's a simultaneous release.
Oh, okay.
I looked because usually they do that, but this is 2.5 months after the theatrical release. That's the fastest that a movie is from theater.
Unless it's like, you know, Christmas Story 2.
Well, it's I don't think
we can. Came out on Friday. We released it on Monday.
Right, exactly. So no, that's incredible. But 2.3 million in week 10, and it comes out on Blu-ray in 2 weeks. We talked last week. Zootopia was theater to Blu-ray in 3 months, and so this even undercuts that. It has made $498 million domestic. Then we go overseas, $713 million. It is up to $1.2 billion on a $160 million budget. My estimate of it making $1.5 billion that far off.
You're not. That's very true.
Because I know you guys were thinking around $1 billion.
Yeah.
And I said 1.5 because I'm like, Beauty and the Beast is a huge movie, and I know that I overshot it, but it doesn't seem so ridiculous. When
Price is Right, you still lose.
True. No, yeah. Very true. But I
predict it will make $1. Yeah.
I'm also still incredibly impressed that it's a $160 million budget for a big Disney production with a lot of practical sets. They filmed on Pinewood on like 16 lots, you know, costumes, all that stuff. 160 is very conservative, I think, and $1.2 billion return. That's amazing.
Yeah, they can just find. I mean, 160 for these remakes. I figure like maybe 150 to 170, depending on which one you're doing.
Well, that's a lot of money still. If it makes a billion, fine. But sure, the problem is 175 on King Arthur.
Oh, no. That's
and it makes $50 million. Yeah. That's ooh, yikes. And rounding out the top 10, How to Be a Latin Lover. So, Joe, I think you boosted the box office when you were gone last week.
Like
is that right?
Times,
five times. Yeah. Well, it's still in the top 10.
I didn't realize Zack Snyder directed this movie.
He had a producer's credit.
Yeah.
So that one made $1.7 million, a 56% drop in week 4. It is up to $28 million domestic. And did it ever release foreign? No, still nothing foreign. So hovering around $30 million. I don't have a budget on this one, but I don't think it feels like one of those $8 to $10 million comedies that they had their buddies come in and do little cameo type roles, because there's some decent names.
Let's be cops.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's not big names, but there are comedians.
Making money.
What's that?
That can't make.
Yeah, that thing ended up being huge.
Sticking around
forever.
Yeah. So anyway, that one is getting.
It's the Rob Cubed cast.
Yeah, it is. It's the three Robs on the front. But so yeah, about almost $30 million on that one in week four. And that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, G-R-A-N-E-Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett or on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers while you're there, or share an episode with a friend or loved one.
Or join the Fantasy Movie League.
I saw that. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can rate, review, subscribe, and all that fancy stuff. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Alien Covenant, which is rough because they're very tough and they look like they might be a little slimy.
They're gooey.
Hard to get a grip on.
They're gooey.
Yeah. So that is what you have to look forward to. You've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.